This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
How many of us were blessed on Friday? I was. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All the way from New Jersey. We have in the house this morning Reverend Dr. Sam Malomo. He's the president and the founder of the Life International Ministries. It's a network of churches that he oversees by the grace of God. And he brought us the word on Friday. It was awesome. Exactly a year ago was when he was here for the first time. You know, and that service was, it was a Festival of Life service as well, and it was just really awesome. Please put your hands together this morning as we make welcome Dr. Sam Malomo.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. I want us to lift up our hands and just worship God this morning. We can do better. We can speak out and exalt God and exalt the name of the Lord.
Oh, Lord, my God. When I...
Hallelujah. Come on, let's lift up our hands.
Some wonder,
conceive the
Isaiah 25 verse 7. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You are going to help me find a neighbor. Bible says, whatsoever we agree as touching on earth, it shall be done in heaven. Right? Are people alive here this morning?
Yes, sir.
Are you alive this morning?
Yes.
Whatever two or more of you shall agree as touching on earth, shall be done for you in heaven.
Amen.
Jesus said, whatever. That's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He knows something about creation. He knows about things being brought to manifestation only by the spoken word. All things were created by him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. Amen? He said, whatever two or more of you shall agree as touching on earth shall be done for you in heaven. The scripture says in Isaiah 25, and he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people before you can be discovered. Something must be removed. The word discover is the opposite of covered. This. Remove this covering. Amen? The remover of this covering. What is covering you may not be the same thing that is covering me. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
If you are buried under the death, somebody needs to uncover the hearth for you to be discovered.
Yes, sir.
Are you understanding? But the scripture says it will not remove it. It will destroy it. And it will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering. Another way to say the face of the covering, the face of the covering, is that there is somebody, or if you say the face of something, the face of this church is our pastor. Am I correct? Is the face of this church. It represents this church. So whatsoever is representing the covering in your life, God is going to eliminate it.
Amen.
I don't like this amen.
Amen.
I don't like this amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He will destroy in this mountain, in this place, this hour, this moment, this second. But we need to agree with him.
Yes.
We need to declare it. Enough is enough.
Yes.
Oh, how many of you agree that enough is enough?
I agree. Enough.
I didn't hear
enough.
You.
Yes.
You agree enough is enough.
Enough is
those
enough.
Of you who are due for your promotion at work,
the
face that is representing antagonism must go.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. The face that is sitting on your seat where you belong must go.
Amen.
So we are going to agree. Whatsoever represent the covering upon my life, the covering upon my destiny, the covering upon my purpose, the covering in the area of my marriage, in the area of my wedding, whatsoever it is, begin to open your mouth and declare. I don't like the way we are praying here this morning. Come on, come on, come on.
My God, everything that represents the covering. So my Lord God, let it be uprooted.
Come on.
Let it be uprooted in the mighty name of Jesus. My Father, my God, according to your word, it is written, it's destroyed. Everything that has been the covering from January to now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let the covering be removed.
Every veil. Every face of coverings that is cast upon our lives, that is cast upon our purpose, that is spread over us, I command them to be destroyed now. Yeah, you have given the word. You have given the word that you will destroy them. We agree concerning your word. They are destroyed. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we prayed. Somebody says,
amen.
I didn't hear that amen.
Amen.
Every face that represents veil, covering in our lives, upon our lives, upon our purpose, destiny, finances, promotion, health, increase. Lord, whatsoever it may be, today we stand upon this mountain that they may be destroyed by you. In the name of Jesus, it's a new beginning. It's a new beginning.
It's a new beginning in the name of Jesus. Bless your word this morning. Grant us understanding. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Come on, somebody say amen in the house. You can have your seat in God's presence. I thank God for the privilege given to me by our pastors, Pastor Joyce and Adekoye Sonny. Hallelujah. How many of us love them? Do you pay to shout here? Glory to God. Pastor, you know how I feel about you. I really appreciate you. I love you. Amen. I thank God for what God is doing here. The spirit of excellence. Hallelujah. In this place. And I thank God because God is faithful. Thank God for all the ministers in the house. Thank God for all the team members for your contribution to the fulfillment and the realization of this vision. Thank God for the hospitality that I've received. Amen. Amen. Like John Iggy said, when he was hosted by Creflo Dollar, and Creflo put him in his guest house. And he said he has never seen such comfort in his life that if the trumpet should sound, he may not hear. That was how comfortable it was. Amen. You know, I've been to places, and I thank God because of how well I was taken care of. And I appreciate everyone that has driven me, that has been there. All of you have prayed, and I know God will answer your prayers this morning. You can't even say amen. Concerning your own prayer, you can't even say amen. Amen. Glory to God. Let's go into the word. Psalm 50. Most of the time I quote from the New King James Version of the scriptures, so it may be different from what is posted or is shown on the projector. But bear with me. Amen. Amen. Psalm 50, verse 2. 1 and 2, sorry. The mighty one, God the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to its going down out of Zion. The perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. Amen. Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah 61. I'm going to read it a little bit differently because I don't want to read everything. I will just read verses 1 and 3. I'll jump some things that I don't need for this morning. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings. To preach good tidings. To console those who mourn in Zion. To give them beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That they may be called the trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord. That he may be glorified. May the Lord bless his word. Help me turn to your neighbor and say to your neighbor, beauty for ashes. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. Glory to God. Holiness is one of the most confusing topics in the church. And I understand the reason why it can be confusing, because it's one of the attributes of God. And there is no finite man that can comprehend in totality who God is. How can a woman be pregnant with two sons and before they ever did good or evil, speaks to the mother of the child, says, I loved one and I hated one. Even before they did anything. But we understood later that it was because of the purpose of election. We elect people in this country in a matter of 1 month. We are going to do that. But it's not the same when it comes to God in terms of election. And it's part of his act of holiness. What makes him to be distinguished amongst all other gods? Because to be holy means to be separate. Oh. To be separate. The word sanctification means to take out, to set apart for use. For use. But holiness is to stand apart. To stand apart from others. Sanctification is to be separated for use. But holiness is to stand apart. That is, none compares to him. None belongs in his class. None can stand, you know, and be equated with him. He stands alone in his class. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So it's the highest calling. It's the highest place. And like David said, if I choose to go to the heavens, it's there. If I go to the abyss, that is to hell. Somebody is in hell and they think that God is not there. I've come to announce to you that in the lowest part of the heart or in the lowest situations that you may find yourself, God is not missing. Oh, come on, help me. He said, if I go to anywhere, it's there. If you are in deep waters, are you understanding what I'm saying? If everything that concerns you seems to be a mess, it's there. It's there. It's there. It's there. And it's still about his holiness. You can't talk about love without talking about holiness. You can't talk about peace, righteousness, without talking about holiness. Because it's the very, very nature of God. If God chooses, he can say, oh, I elevate this one and I bring this one down. It's holiness. It's capability. It can permit some gods to stand. But when they try to equate them, it can make them to become stubborn. Oh, you missed that. That God is not on the same plane with any other god. All gods are the creation of man's hand. Oh, a man puts together silver, melts it, and fashions it, and places it upon an altar and say, this is my God. No, that's not God. Where did God originate from? If you have understanding, can you tell me? What date did God come into existence? Can you explain it to me? When time shall no more be, when this heaven and earth shall be gone, where will God be? Is eternity in eternity? He never began, he will never end. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That is God being holy. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And God's holiness shows us that if he is interested in you, he separates you. He sets you apart. You see, many a times we have equated holiness and sin. God never sinned. So holiness can be because of just sin. Love did not start out of hatred. So hatred and love cannot be the same. Are you understanding what I'm saying? When we talk about abundance and scarcity, scarcity cannot be equated with abundance. Because what can solve a problem is not the same with that problem. Can I help you here? What can solve a problem is not the same with that problem. God is our source. We confessed it in the song that we sang this morning. Because we know that lack cannot stand our source. When you come to the source of something, the source releases to you what you need. So when I come to you, if you are my source, you meet it. And it doesn't stop you from meeting the needs of every other person that considers you their source. So if I equate you, my source, based on just my need, I'm myopic. So God is able to account for over 7 billion people on the earth. Every nation does not know the exact number of their people, but it can count them. It knows them by their name. It surnamed them. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So it's a part of his holiness. So if we are talking about holiness of God, we have to understand that God stands alone by himself. And when he said, "Be ye holy as I'm holy," is a call to be distinguished, to be set apart. And we need to understand this. God works in mysterious ways. Anybody, the more you say, "I know God," the less you know of him. Moses thought he knew God. He thought he could predict God. People have done worse things to God than just striking a rock. And God said, "No, you are no longer going into the promised land." This was somebody that worked with God for 40 years, that interceded before God and said, "God, not so. Because if you say you are going to start a new nation through me, it's fabulous. But they will say it's because you can't take them into the promised land." This was a man that saw God face to face. This was the only man that God hid in the cleft of the rock and proclaimed his name. Merciful. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But when it came to him, And God did something that nobody can understand. Nobody till today has been able to uncover where God buried Moses. That is his act of holiness. But for us to know, when he needed to call him forth, on the mountain of transfiguration, he appeared with Elijah. It's his holiness. It's his act. Let me be honest with you. God does not deal with us the same way. You may not accept it. But that is God. And that's what sets him apart. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that God does not have standard. He has standards. But he has a higher standard. I have children, sir. And thank God you have children. We tell all of them we love them equally. But the truth of the matter is, and they know who you love most. They know who can say, "Daddy," and your heart melts. They know who to send when they're in trouble. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And we derive some natures from God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We derive some natures from God. God is not capable of sin. God is not capable of hate. Yet, the word translated, "Esau have I hated, Jacob have I chosen," is a wrong translation. It simply means, "I did not choose Esau." Amen? I did not choose Esau. But I want to show you something this morning, because we are talking about perfection of beauty. You understand? We are talking about beauty. Let me explain to you. There is always contention about who is beautiful and who is not beautiful. Because beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. The one that you reject is somebody's love. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everybody can be my wife. And I can't marry everybody. Out of maybe 3 billion men, I was chosen for her. Out of 4 billion women, she was chosen for me. So, sisters, I want you to be at peace. Anybody that speaks to this woman today and goes to another woman tomorrow has not discovered the truth. Amen? And let me tell you one honest thing. God is not confused. Let me tell your neighbor, God is not confused. Say it one more time. Say it one more time. Say it one more time. In fact, before you are created, God knows who is going to give back to you. God knows the channel through which you are going to come into this world. And as far as it's concerned, you are not a mistake. Because the scripture says clearly that before you were even conceived in your mother's womb, what he said concerning Jeremiah is so true for everyone. Before you were conceived in your mother's womb, I knew you. I knew you. Your mother may not know you. Your father may not know you. You may not know your father. You may not know you, your mother. But he knows you. It becomes irrelevant. The opinions of people concerning me, as long as he knows me. Either you are dropped at the firehouse, or you are pampered at birth, or you are born in the gutters, or you are made in the palace. Someone knew you before your conception. Now, the word to know means that he was present at your creation. He knows everything concerning you. And the reason why he said so is because where you are birthed or how you are birthed does not determine how far you are going. What determines how far you go is the one that knew you before you were conceived. If I should not help you, if he's the one that knows how you were conceived, how you were conceived, he must have an input to it. I'll say it again. If he knew how you were conceived, he must have a hand in it. And the hand he has in it is that no man comes into this world except they are lighted by Jesus. John chapter 1 is the light of every man that comes into this world. There are so many people that didn't see the light of the day. In spite of every care, every abilities of doctors or mothers or whosoever, they didn't see the light of day. That you are here today is because God is not done with you yet. Oh, I didn't hear an amen in the house. You see, you equate your circumstance based on what you can see. Whereas God equates your circumstance based on what he said concerning you. Concerning Zion, at that point, in Psalm 50 that we read, concerning Zion, things may not be the way they should be. But God spoke. The heart had it. He chose Zion as a place of perfection. And if God says perfect, it's perfect. Help me, somebody. If God says perfect, because he's the one that defines what perfect is. You know, God has some vocabulary that no man can interpret. Hello? If he says you are perfect, I've always said it, whosoever is taller than me is too tall. Amen? Whosoever is shorter than me is too short. Hallelujah. For me, understand it. For me, this is my size, this is my height, this is what God spoke forth. I'm perfectly created the way he wanted me to be created. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I speak exactly the way he perfected my. That's why if you try to speak like me, it can't work. If you try to sing like me, it can't work. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how I sound. There is always a key for me in heaven to sing on. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You have a fingerprint that cannot be copied. You are custom made. You are custom made. You didn't hear me. I said you are custom made. That's why your fingerprint cannot be duplicated. Your hair lobe cannot be duplicated. No matter how they try to clone you, you are unclonable. Because God perfected you and he called you beautiful. Oh, come on. What you think that you don't like in your body is actually what makes you unique. I say it again. Hello. I was sharing on Friday. I said, without this pot belly, if I have told my wife several times I want to reduce, she said, I like it the way it is. I said, don't bother. Don't bother. And I mean it. And I reemphasized, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't take care of yourself. Because those people who tell you who sell to you what they call beauty products, is business. Amen? Glory to God. Amen? I want to show you, because we can't talk about beauty without talking about a young lady in scriptures by the name Esther. Number one, the circumstance of the birth of Esther was made manifest. Esther knew not her father. Her father died, her mother died. But thank God, because God raised a man by the name of Mordecai to raise her. Nobody is alone in this world. There is always somebody that stands with you. No matter how messy your situation is. And if God can send somebody to stand by you, he already stood by you. I say it again. Because some of you are going through stuff and you think, oh, everybody seem not to know what I'm going through. I've come to announce to you that you are not alone. I say it one more time. You are not alone. You are not. You are not. Because there is always somebody that stands by you. When they went through the fire, they were put in the fire. The three Hebrew young men. Because they stood their ground, somebody stood with them. If you are through the fire, he's standing right by you. You may not see him. You may not feel him. You may not recognize him. But he's there. Have been turned to your neighbor and say, neighbor is there. Amen. I'm an orphan. Amen. I'm an orphan today. My father is gone. My mom is gone. Somebody say, yeah. Hey, okay. Glory to God. You understand? But I've come to understand. Because before I could erase my dad's phone number, it took me years. Years. Because there are some things I can talk with him concerning that I can't talk with anybody else. But thank God, he's the father of fathers. For God to say he's our father, you know, that means the sperm of our physical father was not actually what made us. Somebody had a claim to you before the father figure in your life came to be. I say it again. He had the claim on you. He said, I'm your father. The father is the one that actually brought forth whatsoever created that child. So God said, I'm your father. I'm your father. When your father sleeps, who take care of you? When your mother sleeps, your mother has only two. God is multi-breasted. Are you understanding what I'm saying? When your mother goes weary and she closes her eyes, who is there? He neither sleeps nor slumbers. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You need to understand that this God loves you so much. In fact, it's more concerning you than the way you are concerned about yourself. Nobody can love you like the way he loves you. No one can take care of you like the way he will take care of you. So you need to understand that somebody going out of your life, in fact, scripture says your father and your mother can forsake you. Can you imagine? They raised a young man, and at 40, the guy was born blind. And at 40, Jesus healed his eyes. And because of the Pharisees, they rejected their son. Because they said anyone that believed Jesus will be cast out of the temple. They said he's of age. Go and ask him. Oh, thank God I'm of age. You don't know my experience. Even though you are my father, even though you are my mother, when you couldn't take care of me, when you chose to forsake me, God was the one that took me in. Are you understanding? You see, it's the shelter from the rain. Hello? Some of us think this is a shelter, right? Some of us think that this is a shelter. Go and ask them in Florida. Amen? Go and ask them in Haiti. Just this past week. Go and ask them. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Whatsoever a wind can remove is not a shelter. But he said it's a shelter from the wind or from the storms of life. So many things that your colleagues did and they are no more. You did way past it. Who kept you in the midst of it? We are going to a party one night. Amen? We are going to a party one night. And we are involved in an auto accident. I was the only one that came out on scratch. A gang of 200 guys attacked me. Amen? When I used to be in the gang. In those days, we twist bottles. We don't break them. I can twist a bottle. Amen? And somebody took a bottle of stout, was eating it on the floor. I've seen them kill people before. I've seen them kill. He was trying to eat the ground and the bottle refused to break. 8 days after, I came to Jesus. You don't understand. The bottle could not be broken because there must not be a mark on me. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The reason why he brought you out is because his word must remain intact concerning you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That is why none of your ears fall to the ground without it being accounted for. He has given his angels charge concerning you to keep you in awe. In awe. I say it again. In awe your ways. Lest you dash your feet against the stone. So you need to understand that your purpose is greater than anybody. I say it again. Your purpose is greater than anybody. In fact, the scripture says God will see to it that it's his purpose that is fulfilled. And you are God's purpose. Help me turn to your neighbor. Say, I'm God's purpose. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. And that is why you need to understand that the people that have tried to abuse you, the people that abuse you, the people that mess you up, they failed. You didn't understand. I said they failed. I say it one more time. What they think they took from you, they have forgotten that God can replace. Oh, anything a man takes from you can be replaced. I say it again. Whatsoever a man takes from you can be replaced. But whatsoever God takes from you can never be replaced. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And thank God. That is why this morning God has sent me here by his spirit to speak to you, to declare to you that the times of your sorrows, the times of your hardships, the times of your rejection is over. Oh, I don't need to beg you to say amen in this house. Look at it. It says to appoint. To appoint. To appoint. We kept an appointment this morning. Every appointment is aligned with a certain time. If there is an appointment, then time is fixed. Time. You know, some people think that they have an appointment. When they say, let's meet between 3:30 and 4. No, you just scheduled. That's a schedule. But if it's an appointment, it's time specific. It says to appoint. So this hour, there is an appointment. It's an appointment that God ordained in heaven that everything that could be exchanged in your life, you know, I'm standing, there is an advert that I just saw between Tennessee, this Geico advert. The guy is standing in between Virginia and Tennessee. Hallelujah. And the two towns bear the same name, but they belong to different states. I've traveled a lot crossing the border where time change. Amen? Just like that. You just see your cell phone time change. Hello? No wonder. Scripture says it translated us. When you came in here, you are on one side. But now, by this word, what he's doing to keep this appointment is to cross you to the next phase of your life. I say it again. To the next phase of your life. It says to appoint unto them that mourn. We mourn for many reasons. People, it's not just when people die that they mourn. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
If it's because people, if it's only when people die that you mourn, excuse me, please. Most of the time when I know that somebody is a Christian, I don't mourn. And take it from me. Amen? Take it from me. Some of the things that people will call mourning, when I hear a word, it solves it. Some of you, you know, you see us preach, but you don't know the things that we have gone through. I remember one day I carried the lifeless body of my daughter in my hand. And I looked up to God. And I said, God, did you call me? I can't bury this baby. His answer was for me. And I saw both the great and the small before the throne of God. And that was the comfort that I needed. And I wiped my eyes. Until today, I've not wept over that baby.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? Mourning is not because you lost a person. It's the fact that something precious is gone and cannot be recovered. Today we are blessed with other children. In fact, when we look at the picture of that girl and our first daughter, you can't tell the difference. You can't. And I'm not saying that God gave her back to us. Amen. But what I'm trying to say is that when God takes away your money, it becomes no longer an issue.
Yes,
you need to understand that God is capable of restoring all things. Help me turn to your neighbor and say, God can restore all things. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. He can. He can. He can. I had a story of a lady that was dating a young man. The young man had prospect. But one day, the young man broke her heart. Said, I can't marry you. He chose another person. And that woman continued her life. Many years later. Help me turn to your neighbor. Say, many years later. This guy rose. The guy that rejected the other lady rose to become an edicam. That is, someone that stands behind the governor. You know, in the military, they give you, when you rise to the position of major and above, they give you somebody that goes around with you. So unknown to the guy, the husband of the woman that he rejected is the governor. True story. The man that walked out of your life is not going where you are going. If would have limited your life, because the best it could become was the edicam. The one that was meant to open doors for you, you want to stick to. So each time that woman steps out, I say to you, listen, it's a true story. It's a true story. It's a true story. I've come to announce to you, those of you who have been rejected, either by a man or a woman, I congratulate you. No. For now, it may not be, you know, your heart was truly broken. But thank God he told me, in that same Isaiah 61, that he takes care of the brokenhearted. If God cannot take care of what men do to you, then he's not God. I thank God because his hand can take a heart and put it back together. You think your heart was broken into pieces? It gathers the whole water of the heart in the hollows of his hand. Yet, he can figure out where you are. And go into your heart and put it together again. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying, friends of God? Esther does not know her father. But God made sure that Mordecai. You want to tell me that Mordecai does not have his own children? They were not even mentioned. But if you are God's purpose, he sends an helper into your life that must see to it that you become what you should become. Oh, do you want to tell me that Jonathan does not want to be the king over Israel? But he knew God's choice. Somebody missed that. And he had to make sure that he taught David the protocol of the temple, of the palace. And entered into a covenant with him. And he said, you are my brother. He covered his shame. He covered his nakedness. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Even though he desires it. You know, there are some people who are sent into your life. No matter how they desire to become you, they must help you to your destination. That's why God has sent somebody into your life to ensure that the purpose of God will be fulfilled. I speak to you that every destiny helper will come in place in your life. I didn't hear your amen. I said in the name of Jesus, I command your helpers to find you. I command your helpers to locate you. In the name of Jesus. Listen, when I went to the embassy for the first time in my life, I didn't have a bank account. Pastor, I didn't have bank account. And people were coming with big documents. 3 minutes. And I was done. People had money. I didn't have money for plane ticket. People have bought some plane ticket, reserve plane ticket, reserve hotels. All I had that year was I'm going to place you in a strategic position. January that year, 1999, God said to me, they sent me a letter to come. I did not hear about the letter. You know, in those days, telephone communication was poor a little bit. But do you know something? Do you know something? Because I had an appointment orchestrated by God 1 week before the time, the message got to me. I've come to announce to you, you won't miss your appointment. I didn't hear you. I said you won't miss your appointment. By the power that is in the name of Jesus, you will not miss your appointment. You know how my appointment got to be noticed? My dad will not ordinarily open my letter. They sent my letter, how do I describe Sokoto? To Kwara. I was in Sokoto. Okay, the best way. Okay, maybe I'm in. Okay, I live in New Jersey. Can you imagine? I'm here now. And an important information was sent to my house that I must attend to in 1 hour. My dad could not rest. He opened my letter. And he sought somebody in Sokoto to go look for me. The man did not know where I was living. At 9:30 p.m., I had the gate of the house. And I went there. I thought he brought me bad news. Because it's my dad's friend. They have been friends for so many years. And he said, no, Sam, rest. It's a good news. I said, it's a good news. You sure? Ah, may he bring you a news. I said, may he bring you a good news. Somebody is expectant of good news. I command that the letter be delivered right now. Hallelujah. That was how I went. Glory to God. And the story has changed. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I usually tell people, whichever way you came into this country, is God ordained. If it's not God ordained, you can't make it. Some of you even came from Tick Village. Tick Villages. But he ordained you here. 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 He said, to give you beauty. Let nobody weep no more. I say it again. He said, it's a time of appointment. That stories changes. Because if God changed your story, no one can rewrite the story. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He has kept his appointment this morning. He has spoken into your life. He has said, before we can have ashes, something must have been born totally, totally destroyed, right? By fire, consumed by fire. Ordinarily, if I reject it, this place cannot be born by wood fire. How many of you have seen cars born? Totally born. No, the truth of the matter is that the metal frame still stand. But when we are talking about something born to ashes, nothing remains. Yet God says, I can reconstruct life out of it. I say it again. Something that is totally written off. Something that you can't pick it up anymore. You know snowflakes. That's actually how ashes are. And God says, I'm still going to raise joy out of it. I'm going to raise beauty out of it. I'm going to raise prosperity out of it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? When God does his things, it's not based on how men react. He bases it on his own actions. He can defend himself concerning your life. I say it again, sir. God can defend himself concerning your life. That was why when he picked David and put him on the throne, he defended himself. When he chose Solomon, no matter how much people love Absalom, Solomon is it. You are God's choice. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm God's choice. I didn't hear you. 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 You may not have a shoe on your feet. But if he chose you, he chose you. And you don't choose somebody that you don't like. You don't choose something that cannot work. You are workable. I say it again, they miss that. God chose you because he can work with you. He can work in you. And he can work for you. And that is why he makes all things beautiful. Beautiful. You want to tell me that there was nobody in the whole land that knew that Esther was a Jew? When you are God's choice, it doesn't matter. Even if they spoke against her, that she's a Jew, you need to understand that she was a choice because of grace. She was a choice because of favor. You are here because of God's grace. You are here because of God's favor. That is why when people try to define you and you are accepting their definition, you didn't know who created you. No matter what you call yourself, if it's below what God has called you, you have not recognized who you are. But this morning, God has said to you, you are the choice. Help me turn to your neighbor and say, I'm the choice.
I'm the choice.
I didn't hear you.
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 I'm the choice.
Okay, help me tell your neighbor, I'm the choice.
I'm the choice.
I'm the choice. God chose me. I'm special. Hallelujah. I'm special. I'm special. I'm special. Help me turn to your neighbor and say, I'm special. That's why it will open doors that no man can open for you. Let me conclude this way. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Says, giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet to be partakers. That's so confusing. What it actually means is that God has made us a choice. He has chosen us. He has chosen us. Sir, we are chosen. To be holy. To be what? Help me tell your neighbor. You have been chosen. To be holy. So what is holiness? To take on the nature of God. To be like God. To behave in the character of God. To relate in the character of God. To talk like God. And if you are God's, the sons of God, then we can change this world. We can change atmospheres. We can change situations. You are a change agent. Now, you can't be change agent if you are not capable of change. So the reason why your story has not ended is because you are a change agent. That's why you can say, no more in my life. Right now in my life. You are an enforcer of the word. When you say it, it comes to pass. That is why you can pray and everyone can hear you. That is why you can stand before his presence. And you can speak before your creator. And you can say, Father, your word said this. So this cannot be. Amen? Amen. I want to prophesy to you. In the name of Jesus. As it has been declared, your life is perfected. Amen. They can't say amen. I declare it this moment. Perfection rises out of your life. Everything that must be in order, we command be in order. In the name of Jesus, whatsoever is out of joint, we command, find your joint. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Well, we can't end this morning. Because everything I've spoken is for a peculiar people. It's for, because two can't work together except they agree. Hallelujah. If you go to a woman and say, I want to marry you, buy the best of rings. Call the whole town. Amen. Cook the best meal. If she says no, it's no. You need to save face. Right? I've met in counseling, I've met men that are so much in love with a sister, and the sister does not have a trace of love for them. And I've met sisters that are deeply in love with a brother, and the brother does not even look at their side. It's nobody's fault. Amen? If God pours out his love to you, and you don't take the chance to accept love, there is nobody that is not loved in this heart. We only reject love. And if God freely gave us Jesus, how much more will he with him freely give us all things? Jesus loves you so much. God loves you so much that he wants to have a permanent abode in you and with you. Because this world will soon end. Let's be realistic. Even if Jesus does not appear, some people are ready to erase this world. They are walking towards it to erase this world. People are walking behind the scene. They are looking for every way to erase the word. But thank God, because the word of God stands. But how many of you have heard of people die before? If you have not seen one person die, let me see. How many of you have seen somebody die before? How many of you have seen somebody die before? Okay, how many of you have relatives that died before? Grandfathers, brothers, sisters? An eminent question is important. Where do they go from there? There is life after death. If life can be terrible on earth and life can be comfortable on earth, then there must be an eternity. Amen? There can be an eternity. I usually laugh at people who say, oh, he was a good man. The devil can be good too. Yeah. He said, to whomsoever I will, I give riches and honor. He can give money. He can give fame. And he can kill them. But Jesus gives us the best of God. And I'm not saying that if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you won't go through temptations, that your life will not be a challenge. No. But in the midst of it, you know peace. You are an overcomer. Are you understanding what I'm saying? All these promises of God are for only those who have accepted Jesus as the Lord and personal Savior. To as many that received him, he has given the power to become sons of God. If you are here this morning, every eye closed, every head bowed, and you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, I'm not saying that you don't go to church. You don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. And you want to accept him this moment. Can you just lift up your hand wherever you may be? Every eye is closed, every eye is bowed. You want to accept Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior this morning. Can you raise up your hand? Everybody is born again here. Praise God. So let's stand up. Praise God. I won't push it.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.